Gracious God, the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. Please speak to us now in the living echoes of your word and help us not only to be hearers and speakers of your word, help us, O God, to be doers of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we began our study of the seven last sayings of Jesus on the cross, with the first of these, a prayer of forgiveness. We talked about forgiving the unforgivable. As we come to the second of those gracious sayings, we find ourselves listening to a deathbed conversation between three dying men. This brief passage relates one of the most amazing prayers and the promises of the Bible. Two men were crucified with Jesus, one on his right and the other on his left. It was a terrible thing to be unjustly condemned and to be crucified between two obvious criminals. Last week, we had mentioned that Jesus was crucified at the center of these two obvious criminals. And the idea was to say, look, Jesus was receiving the worst of the punishment. It was a terrible thing, and we had mentioned it last week. It was a horrible experience for Jesus to go through all of that for our sake. Thousands of years before Jesus' crucifixion, Prophet Isaiah had prophesied, as recorded in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9 and 12. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So you could say that Isaiah was a prophet. He was speaking very much into what later happened thousands and thousands of years later. One of these men dying on the cross beside Jesus continued the insults begun by the soldiers. We read this morning how they mocked Jesus, how they said to him, "You are the king of the Jews, now save yourself." So he continued with this, "Aren't you the Christ? Aren't you? Save yourself and us." Where is this whole talk about Messiah? You are the Messiah. You are the Savior. You are the Redeemer. Where are all these talks? We've always heard so much about saying you are the Messiah. Then show it. Prove it. You are dying just like us. So here we had two criminals. And they were all sentenced because of a crime they had committed. But there's a difference between the two of them. One of them, of course, they were all crucified with Jesus at the center. And they had this commonality because they were being punished for a sin they had committed. But the difference between these two was actually what they made of Jesus, the man at the center. And so what really makes a difference in our lives as God's people is really what we make of this man, the man that was at the center, the man that was crucified on Calvary. That is really what makes a whole lot of difference in our lives. And Jesus was right there at the center, right and left. And they were seeing Jesus. And sometimes people get so familiar with Jesus that they make little out of him. The psalmist, as was read to us this morning, also had said something in relation to this. "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me, they hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. I'm sure we have heard so much of this, perhaps in our own personal experiences. One criminal is blaspheming Jesus, but the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." The second bandit may be condemned to death, but he refuses to desert his sense of right and wrong. Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." We sang it at the start of the service. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This statement is most astonishing. On the cross, a condemned man with life going out of him looks to the center cross and sees not another dying man, but the Messiah himself. He didn't see Jesus to be an impostor like some have seen Jesus. He believed that Jesus will receive the kingdom that the Father has promised to him. And one thing we wonder here is, how can such quality of faith exist at such a dark time? Already the darkness is falling, and it felt like the curtain was going to be drawn, and the end of this dying thief was very close. Yet he looked out, Jesus, and saw a Savior. It is possible, I believe, to be saved at one's deathbed, but it should not be relied upon. For some people, they say, "I'd rather wait until when I am on the deathbed." And I've seen many young people and older who had said in the years of my ministry and life as a Christian that I will follow Jesus later on. I need to really catch up on my phone. Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow might be late." So we do not have to procrastinate our yielding of our lives to Jesus. Jesus answered the repentant thief, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." What a wonderful promise Jesus gives this believing thief. We know so little of life, know so little of what life is on the other side. But the scripture shows us that the glory of heaven is not the streets and gates of gold. The glory of heaven is Jesus. Heaven is wherever Jesus is. And when we finally get to heaven and meet with Jesus, we'll be at home for all eternity. Apostle Paul writes and says to the Corinthians, "If our life, if our hope is only on this life, we are of all men most miserable." And we keep singing this song, "Soon and very soon we are going to meet the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to meet the Lord. Soon and very soon we are going to meet the Lord. Soon and very soon we are going to see the Lord. Soon and very soon we are going to see the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the Lord. No more crying there, we are going to see the Lord. No more weeping there, we are going to see the Lord. No more sorrowing. We are going to see the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the Lord. Today you'll be with me in paradise, Jesus said. It is never too late to turn to Christ. Those of us who are praying for our beloved ones should take great hope from stories like this that we read today. Sometimes we look at people and say they are just too far gone. There is no hope again, no turning back. They will never come to Jesus. The story of these two thieves teaches us that no one is ever too far gone. No one is beyond the reach of our Lord Jesus. Don't give up on those you love. Don't despair for yourself or for anyone else. Don't think that it's a concluded matter, there is no hope. For with God, all things are possible. It is never too late to turn to Christ. Even the worst can be saved. And so we don't cease to pray for members of our families, for our friends, for our neighbors, for our world. The redeemed have the hope and promise of heaven. All who have ever trusted the Lord in salvation will enjoy the endless ages surrounded by the presence of the Lord and the splendor of his heaven. We stand amazed, as we'll sing later, that the Lord Jesus will come to us. Coming to us to die and to prepare a place for us. We can't even begin to imagine what awaits on the other side. Today, you will be with me in paradise. We are called to believe the promises of God. His promises are A and Amen. And the best of descriptions about the other side, no matter how best we try, we can't possibly enter into it. But today we are invited in this season of Lent to search our hearts and clear off the cobwebs as we await the return of our Savior. Amen.